This morning, our scripture reading is taken from the book of Philippians, found in chapter 3, verses 4b through 11, and it can be found in your pew Bible, if you wish to follow, on page 954. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Jesus Christ. More than that, I regard anything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes from through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. The word of the Lord. And now if you'll follow with me on the back of the bulletin, there's a beautiful responsive reading. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The stone that the builders rejected. This is the Lord's doing.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we beseech you, O Lord.
O Lord, we beseech you, give us success.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you.
You are
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Please stand for the gospel. It's a reading from John's gospel, chapter 12, and I'm beginning at verse 9. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
All four Gospels tell the story of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey on that first Palm Sunday afternoon, with people laying down their garments and palm branches before him and hailing him as the one who comes in the name of the Lord. There was a prophecy by Zechariah His book is the second to last in the Old Testament. He had predicted a day when your king will come to you triumphant and victorious, but riding humbly on a donkey. And Matthew clarified what kind of a donkey it was, a donkey with her colt. John Dominic Crossan suggests that the contrast between Jesus and Pontius Pilate could not have been more sharply drawn. Pilate was also coming to Jerusalem that day, and he would have entered the city from the opposite side, possibly at the very same moment that Jesus was coming in. But Pilate would have been mounted on a war horse, surrounded by legions of cavalry and foot soldiers, bearing all the trappings and insignia of Rome, and proclaiming unmistakably, "I represent Caesar, and Caesar is a god who rules by brute force. Don't mess with me." Crossan says Jesus chose the most unmilitary mount possible. Not a stallion, not a mule, not a male donkey, not even just a female donkey, but a female nursing donkey with her little colt trotting alongside her. The people clearly recognized that Jesus was fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy, and they said, "Here at last is our long-awaited king and Messiah, and how different he is from Caesar." So all four Gospels tell the Palm Sunday story, but only John explains why the crowd was there in the first place. He ties it directly back to the raising of Lazarus, which had occurred sometime previously. John tells us that when Jesus came to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus at the beginning of the celebration of Passover, and it's presumably there that he stayed each night as the events of Holy Week unfolded, when he got there, John says, a great crowd of the Jews sought him out because the whole town was electrified by the reports of his having raised Lazarus from the dead. There really would have been no way of escaping that news. In a small village in ancient Palestine, the three biggest events, sure to draw a crowd and become the subject of discussion, were a wedding party, and we've seen that could go on for at least a week or more, the birth of a baby, which would draw friends, relatives, and neighbors into a community celebration, and the death of a friend or neighbor, which would also typically lead to a week of public mourning. The book of Sirach, one of the books of the Apocrypha written about 200 years before Jesus, stipulates that mourning for the dead shall last 7 days. And that's even reflected today among observant Jews who have a custom called sitting Shiva following a death, which is observing a period of 7 days of mourning in which everything focuses on that and everything else pretty much stops. So whenever it was, how much before this visit, when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus 4 days after he had died, he came at the exact midpoint of this week of public mourning. And John tells us the Jews who were with Mary, Lazarus' sister, went with her to Jesus and then accompanied both of them to Lazarus' tomb, where Jesus said, "Roll away the stone." You remember the story. Martha objected, "Lord, he's been dead 4 days. There's already a stench." And Jesus said, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And then he prayed. Listen to the prayer. "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so they may believe that you sent me. Lazarus, come forth." This was not a private event. This was a large crowd of onlookers, friends, neighbors, perhaps some other relatives, joining with Mary and Martha in mourning the death of their brother. So let me ask you a question. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, do you think folks kept it to themselves? Last December, we had a number of very large funerals here at Lake of the Woods Church. Several people, well known in the community, passed away during the last few weeks of the year. And many folks attended those funerals who are not regularly here on Sunday mornings. Now, I ask you to imagine, supposing that at one of those funerals, somebody stood up and said, "Open the casket." Of course, we'd object. But what if he insisted? And for whatever reason, we complied. And then he said to whoever was in that casket, "Get up." And the guy in the casket got up. Do you think it would be business as usual here the next Sunday morning? If folks knew that the guy in the casket and the guy who called him out of it were both going to be here, I guarantee you all of Locust Grove, most of Fredericksburg and Culpeper, and several guys from D.C. would be here for the early service. That's the dynamic we're dealing with as we come to Palm Sunday. Listen, verse 9. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was at the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 12, the next day, the great crowd that had come for Passover heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took palm branches and went out to meet him. Verse 17, the crowd that had been with him when he raised Lazarus from the dead continued to testify. Verse 18, it was because he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Palm Sunday crowd was composed of people who had witnessed the raising of Lazarus and others who heard about it from them. And in fact, it was the raising of Lazarus and people talking about it that directly provoked the crucifixion 5 days after Palm Sunday. Back up in the story, this is the paragraph that immediately follows Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the council and said, "What are we to do? This man is performing many signs, many miracles. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place, the temple, and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. Do you not understand that it is better for you to have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed?" He didn't say this on his own. But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was about to die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but to gather into one the dispersed children of God. So, from that day on, they planned to put Jesus to death. Then we read in chapter 12 that when the great crowd came to see Jesus and Lazarus, the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death all over again, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. Do you get the point? John says that both the hosannas of Palm Sunday and the Good Friday demand, "Crucify him," both are directly attributable to the raising of Lazarus. It provoked two opposite reactions, diametrically opposite reactions. Now, the way the story of Holy Week has most often been told is that the Palm Sunday crowd turned on Jesus because he didn't seize the moment. They wanted to make him king, and have him lead a revolution, overthrow Rome, reestablish the throne of David, and usher in the golden age. And he demurred. And in frustration, anger, and disappointment, they went from hailing him as Messiah to demanding his death. Have you heard it told that way? I've told it that way myself. What we need to see is there were two entirely different crowds. The common people who heard Jesus gladly, as Mark puts it, and who rejoiced in the raising of Lazarus, and the Pharisaic party who were his implacable enemies almost from the very beginning, and for whom the raising of Lazarus was the last straw. Paul Meyer, the renowned professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University, wrote that on Good Friday morning, the shouting multitude in front of Pilate's tribunal consisted primarily of the priest-controlled temple staff. Their pleas alone numbered 10,000. So this wasn't the Palm Sunday crowd renouncing their Messiah. This was the religious establishment attempting to destroy its opposition. Two diametrically opposite reactions to the same thing. Now let me ask you a second question. What happens when somebody receives Jesus as Savior and Lord? Here's how the New Testament puts it. If anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. Are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, you are a new creature. Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new. To all who received Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. John said, we know we have passed from death to life. You understand? There's been a resurrection in you. You've passed from death to life if you're in Christ. And St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that we who belong to Christ, we who have been born anew by the Spirit of God, will provoke in others the same two opposite reactions that Lazarus did. He said, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, a fragrance from death to death, to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Some who meet us are going to be turned off if we try to share the good news of the gospel. They're not ready for it. They may never be. But others are going to be like a thirsty man in the desert who is offered a drink of cold water. We just sang about, Lord, I want a drink of you. If we offer it, I'm encouraging you and I'm encouraging myself to be bold in sharing what's happened to us with those who need to hear about it, because it needs to happen to them too. Pray about who you need to approach. Pray that God will prepare that person and prepare you and give you boldness and give you clarity to share this good news. People couldn't stop talking about Lazarus. Now, I'm pretty sure he couldn't stop talking about himself. And we see that pattern through all of Jesus' ministry. He healed a man born blind, and he couldn't stop talking about it. Once I was blind, now I see. Jesus gave living water to the woman at the well, and she ran back to town to tell everybody, you've got to meet a guy who told me everything I ever did. Jesus liberated the Gadarene demoniac, and he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Jesus healed a deaf man with a speech impediment, and even though he told the crowd that witnessed it not to report it, lest it be misunderstood, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And he says to us, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And you are my witnesses here in Locust Grove and across Virginia and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Scripture says faith comes by hearing. But how are they to believe unless they've heard? And how are they to hear unless somebody speaks to them about it? You and I are surrounded by people who are dying and going to hell. And they need to hear this good news. And it's our responsibility and our great joy to tell them. Lazarus' resurrection was temporary. You and I have been given new life that will last for eternity. And people are literally dying to hear about it. If the Palm Sunday crowd showed up on account of Lazarus, how about you and me agreeing that some folks are going to show up at the gates of heaven because of us? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are astounded as we think again about the great events we celebrate this week and how they began with the the acclamation that the king had come. And 5 days later, he was put to death. Thank you, Lord, that we know that's not the end of the story. We look forward to celebrating Easter next week with such joy and thanksgiving. And we pray you'll help us to be bold in sharing that good news with those around us. We pray in Jesus' name.